Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We, of course, are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Evan Thomas for getting us up and running and twitching.
And did you see Evan let us know that he was a valuable cog in the machine that is the Odyssey softball team?
Really?
Yes.
Did not know that.
I think he was 3-for-3 last night, and he said in another victory. He included that underneath his inspirational phrase. Not that he's a bragger or anything, but that was kind of...
Well, he motivates us.
He does motivate us.
Be it through his softball play or through his...
I heard an updated score on the BBM scoreboard update on the ride-in this morning. They updated the score.
Jeez. Well, he was hot. He had
good
a triple,
for
3-for-3.
He's right? Really good at he understands what you're supposed to do in 16-inch softball, and that's go to right field. He has figured that out, and he is exploiting it, and the league is not caught up to it as of yet. Fun player.
And want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Also, thank you for listening on this Tuesday.
And thanks to our executive producer. He is Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
Well, I hope Greg Olsen is a better analyst than he was as far as a blocking tight end. I hope that's what I hope. And I like listening to
Mike
Greg
Marks.
Olsen last year. He's a little light on the backside. I don't think him and the squat rack got together very
often.
He
was a great receiver.
He was a great tight end. He was not a great tight end. He was a good tight end. He wasn't great. He was good.
Oh, man. Hey.
I have a story about that.
And Brandon, thank you, buddy. Thanks for your fine contribution this morning.
Now three guys are chasing the squirrel.
Good luck with this one. They got no shot. I'm saying no chance.
Three guys with nets. Are trying to chase down the squirrel on the left field warning track. He's darting left. He's darting right. He got away. He's in the clear.
He's at the 10. 20. He's at the 5.
He's to the 5. Touchdown, squirrel.
Touchdown, squirrel.
Yeah, sadly, the only highlight of the Cubs game. And and now Dan and Lawrence join us. Dan, did you get a good night's sleep?
Hey, guys.
We all want to know.
I think so. I think fine. Well,
that's
enough,
good.
I guess.
Yeah. I was being sarcastic because you came in yesterday bragging about how you got to sleep in. That's not really well accepted from the morning show, just by eye. We talked about it several times during the break. Can you believe Bernstein?
But boy, didn't he
throwing
look,
his sleep
didn't
in
he
our
look
face.
Rested, right?
Yeah.
I'm
glad your life is cushy.
I got such
Boo
a...
Boo this man!
Boo!
Boo!
I feel like Roger Goodell all of a sudden looking at the draft.
Bettman.
That was the greatest ever. Do you remember that? David, you were there for
I was
that.
There. Yeah.
We're at the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and they did this thing. It was the Rangers against the Islanders, the NHL game at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, it was great.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we went out there. We were in a skybox, and they invited all the media. I think we had like, what do you have, like 15 guys?
Yeah, probably
Chicago?
12, 15 guys.
More than anywhere else in the country. We're all there. And we were talking about Bettman being booed at the Hawks. Do you remember that? When they had the trophy presentation, they were like, and as assistant equipment manager, Floyd Furniture, and the NHL commissioner. They tried to sneak him in.
In between like Mike Gapsky and the other guy.
It was unbelievable. And then people were like, oh, yeah, what? Boo, you know. So Bobby Vassilopoulos is taking a photo of everybody together, the Chicago media.
Bettman is in the booth with us.
And he gets in the photo. He's in the middle of the photo. And Bob is having problems with his camera. And Bettman goes, boo, boo. And we had just been talking about him getting booed. You should see the photo. Everyone is literally laughing their head off. It's awesome.
I don't think they're literally laughing their
literally
head off.
Literally heads falling, Dan.
I got such a kick this morning out of you. You almost heard yourself say it, and you were about to give this sardonic laugh when you were discussing the career of Steve McMichael and how the history sort of piles up on itself, and we forget how long those defenses sustained a level of of greatness that we took for granted.
How about it?
And then when you just said they never got the quarterback right.
Well,
and it's just, I can't, no matter where we are in Bears history, no matter where we are, it's, I know it's cliche and I know we get back to the picture of Sid Luckman doing this, but it just haunts everything.
Well, I mean, think about it. Jim McMahon was a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. But he was not a healthy quarterback.
Not durable enough.
And you couldn't win.
He could have been much better than he was. He was limited by how injured he became.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Lawrence, I need to know, because they have had some great tight ends. Greg Olsen, to me, was one of them. Obviously not here in Chicago. What was your Greg Olsen story?
Well, it's just that my old partner, Dan Hampton, had the same reaction as Dustin. And in fact, when he got to meet Greg Olsen, he basically, like, because, you know, Hamp's a giant man.
Oh, my God.
Giant man. Yep. He'll swallow you with a handshake.
He's got an arm like a leg.
he basically went up to Olsen and, like, a little poked light, him. Aren't you? Like, he pretty much said exactly what Dustin said.
He was a wide receiver.
But he said it to him.
Yeah.
He was a wide receiver disguised as a tight end.
He was a big wide receiver.
But he lasted a long time, Lawrence. I mean, we talked this morning. There are only four tight ends who have more career catches than Greg Olsen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gonzalez,
Witten, Gates, and Shannon Sharp.
Didn't even give us a chance. Okay.
Sorry.
I probably would have. We would have gotten him.
I think Greg Olsen was a great tight end. And he came in at a point where things were changing. Like the position itself began to change. And people understood that there was value in guys that could outrun defenses from that position. And especially once the rules kind of changed, and you saw defenses saying, we're not going to mug those guys at the line of scrimmage. They're getting free releases. Well, it's what Doug Buffon used to be mad about every day.
Well, that's why I thought also we had the point that was made. Was it Jimmy Graham who had the issue regarding transition tag or franchise tag about being paid to do the job he was actually doing rather than the job that the NFL said his position used to be doing?
Helicopter pilot?
Well, that was I think
mentor.
It was right.
Red zone threat.
Yeah. Well, I don't
that's
think
anybody. Money for
no
that.
One's going to begrudge the last couple of years of his career if it's, as far as the dollars go. He made up for it on the back end. But I thought the point was well taken at the time. It's like you can call me whatever you want to call me, but look at what I do for a living
and just pay me accordingly.
And he caught 713 passes compared to Olsen at 742. Both very productive, but guys who were more like wide receivers.
Right.
And both guys also great hands. Underrated aspect. They had great hands. They were dependable ball catchers.
In our conversation with him, and I don't know how much you guys heard, you hear a guy that's taken this role very seriously.
Yeah, that was good.
And I loved hearing him explain what goes into the way that he works. He broke it down in a way that you hope ex-players who become analysts do it. It was very, very cool. And the two of you guys covered him as well, like I did, inside that Bears locker room. The man he's become, I'm really impressed with. Like, because, you know, he came in and there was all the stuff at Miami and there was the song and all of that. And he's
G-Reg.
That's right. He was G-Reg. And
what's he do?
He's turned in. Well, don't get us in trouble, Mulligan.
Bad man.
I just that was the line that I put through my head. When
I'm
you brought
just
it
saying
up.
That you're,
I'm not
you're,
bad. I
you're
didn't
that
say
guy.
It.
You're the guy you don't sit next to in like a school assembly.
Listen,
party
I was,
terrorist Mike Mulligan.
Yes, I was always caught. I mean, every class, every. I mean, I was always getting jugs, which.
Justice under God.
Judgment under God, I think, is what we called it, but justice is fair.
What is that like hit you with a stick?
No, it's
a ruler.
It's, yeah. No, a jug would be you got to stay after school.
Yeah.
You got to, you know.
It's detention, but in Catholic schools,
yeah,
it's
100 Hail Marys or 150?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's confession.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
That's penance.
And they ran out of Hail Marys when I'd go to confession. I went to confession one time in Rome. This is a true story. And the guy was a Polish priest. He spoke Polish, Italian, and English. And it was like, oh, he speaks English. So I give my you know, I would say PG version of a hard R confession. And the guy begins by saying to me, when we live in a world without morals, we fall into an abyss. And I was just like, wah, bah. And he proceeded to just make all sorts of references to the horrible church in the United States. And
wow.
I mean, you're very vulnerable when you're seeking confession. And by the time I was like,
that's kind of the point, right?
By the time I was halfway to the bus stop, I was turning around. I wanted to tell that guy, you know, you're out of line, fella.
Hold on. I've still not passed the words, when I went to confession in Rome.
I studied there, and I wanted to go to confession at St. Peter's. I thought it'd be a significant moment. I liked confession. It's good for the soul. And the guy was unwilling to give me much of a, I mean, really just kind of ripped the hell out of me. Which, you know, you're bearing this is what I've done wrong.
But that's kind of what you're there for. Well, you're there for the forgiveness part.
Yeah, and I got it, you know, at the Rome Center with Loyola.
I think you're there just so you can say you went to confession in Rome.
Yeah, I just wanted to do it at St. Peter's.
I would think it should count more.
I thought it'd be cool.
Right, if you're close. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, did you see the Pope is hurt?
No.
Is he
a White Sox pitcher?
He's got a knee? It's bad.
Is he running to first?
No, it's serious. The Pope's got a knee.
It's their greatest nemesis. It happened again last night with Tim Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
First base is the White Sox nemesis.
But you got to get there.
Stop doing that.
You have to get there to get to the other bases, though, theoretically.
Do you mean when he got picked off?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Pope is in a wheelchair. And apparently he doesn't want to have surgery. And they're telling him, it's like Alonzo Spellman all of a sudden. First time those two have been compared.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison, Dad.
And they're telling him.
The Pope is walking around shirtless and
smoking.
Right, okay. Yeah,
right. Dyed his hair blonde.
Not good.
Mike Singletary is going to talk him out. But he apparently really doesn't want to get surgery. And he's in a wheelchair. They're telling him that he's got to do rehab. He's got to do physical therapy and the whole thing. But the injury bug is biting the Pope now.
Hmm. The very fact that you're up to date on the Pope's injury seems weird to me.
Like you're enjoying it a little much.
No, I find it's your pleasure. No, that's not necessarily true. I'm fascinated by the balance between the spiritual and the corporeal. That if someone in his position, who is the vessel of God among human beings on earth, right? He's the closest to God, right? Fix his knee.
He's infallible in matters of faith. Not
health.
Thank you.
I know, but it's just it's to me.
Free your mind.
Hold on. Not to kill your sermon.
And the rest
there.
Will follow. Do, do, do,
have an update on the Evan Thomas softball outing last night. Shane wants to be heard here.
Of course.
Evan cost us 5 runs last night with his poor stubby leg defense.
Damn. What is he, Jake Berger?
That's really rough.
That is.
And I know Shane doesn't mind me reading that on the air because that's, I think, the purpose of him sending it.
Shane is content. His very existence is content.
So Shane's the manager?
He's everything. Still? He's in charge of all of it. He asked me, I asked last night, I said, do you need me? Because I'd like to get used to this new schedule. And the game was at 9 o'clock last night.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
I was like, maybe next week I'll be back.
Sounds like Shane's benching Evan.
He's not going to bench Evan because Evan does the thing that Shane wants to do, which is hit the ball to right field. So
I thought Shane was good.
Shane's really good.
Okay.
Shane's one of the best players in the league. Oh. And he is the best third baseman in the league.
Which is why he wanted me to mention him.
So is Moncada.
Shane plays every week.
Defensively. Shane plays every week. It's beautiful. What have ye today?
We are going to get into some of the stuff that Rick Hahn said yesterday because there was substance to his session with the media having a lot to do with the White Sox present and near future and some other things that I think expand outside of baseball in that regard. We're going to give you an Akira Kurosawa version of Squirrel on the Field from various perspectives. Rob Schaefer will have the latest on the Bulls in the NBA. We've got High Noon. We have Lucas Williamson, the former Loyola Rambler, and Whitney Young Dolphin, who is an NBA hopeful. And
There was a jumping off point from Greg Olsen regarding Justin Fields, some of his thoughts on what he sees.
Yeah, there's we're going to end up doing something that we thought we were done doing with Bears quarterbacks.
Ooh. Body language?
I like it.
Have a good show.
All right, guys.